Which would you rather have? Which would you rather have? Would you rather have $1 million or a penny the first day and double that the second day and double that the third day and double that amount the fourth day until you have finished the month of May? Which would you rather have? How many would rather have $1 million on your first thoughts? How many would rather have a penny the first day and double it the second day until the month of May is over? Really? Wow, you've heard this. That's wonderful. Because if you take $1 million, you've got $1 million. And a penny doubled for 31 days doesn't sound like much. But after 31 days, you do have, in fact, $10,737,418. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? It's just amazing what numbers do sometimes. Just like your budget. I mean, you spend 10 here and 20 there, and before long, it's all gone. During the Watergate investigations, Sam Ervin, who was well known and is now dead for some time, made the famous comment, well, $1 million here and $1 million there, and pretty soon it adds up to real money. Some people settle for $1 million. And they could have the multiplied bountifulness of the Lord if they only knew how bountiful He is. The first instinct is to grab $1 million. But the ways of the Lord are bountiful, prosperous, blessed. How many read Psalm 119 this week, by the way, since last week? Psalm 119. Oh, see, he took the million and left the treasure alone. Whatever you grabbed instead of doing that, you got shortchanged. I know it's just one psalm, but it compounds every day until it's just unspeakable bountifulness. Thank the Lord for your testimony, Nancy. Bountifulness of the Lord. The Lord's going to help me get going here real soon. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. It will be the most likely thing to misunderstand me this morning. So you must pay close attention and understand what I am and am not going to be saying today. Because to the carnally minded, you will apply it to strictly physical material things. And it does have application to that. The way of the Lord. In Genesis, God created heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them and the creeping things and the fowls of the air and the animals, and blessed them and saying, be fruitful and multiply. Bless them and saying, be fruitful and multiply. fruitfulness and multiplication is. What happens under God's blessing? He created Adam and Eve and blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God blessed and said, be fruitful and multiply. After God judged mankind for his sin, his worldwide rebellion against God, and he brought a flood and saved Noah and his sons and his wives and their wives. After the flood was over and Noah was brought out of the ark, God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. When God blesses, it includes his blessing, his encouragement, his will that there be multiplication, that there be advancement, that there be a great abounding, extension, advancement. You can't multiply and be fruitful without his blessings. I'm not talking about material, physical things. I'm talking about the soul, spiritual things. Under the Old Testament, there was great teaching brought to us through the physical creation, through physical abundance, through physical fruitfulness and multiplication, teaching us great things about God and his character and his ways and ourselves and our relationship to God. When God said, be fruitful and multiply, to the creatures and to man and to Noah, he was trying to teach us what blessedness means. And so in doing so physically and genetically, it was but to illustrate that blessings from God are to be a multiplication, a bountifulness, a fruitfulness. God called Abraham. He said to him, and I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. If you can count the sands on the seashore, you'll get an idea of how many descendants you will have when I multiply you. If you can count the stars in the heavens, you will get an idea of the number of descendants that I will multiply out of you, who is one. Out of one, I will multiply you to the point where you will not be able to count them. I'm not going to give you 10 million descendants. I'm going to multiply you. Today you are one. Tomorrow you will be two. And the day after you will be four. And centuries from now, your descendants will be like the sands of the seashore. Innumerable. This is God's way. God spoke to Isaac, confirming the covenant, and said, and I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and will give your descendants all these lands. And by your descendants, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham, I'm going to bless you and multiply your seed. And then he speaks to his son and says, I'm going to multiply your descendants, and through your descendants, I'm going to bless all the nations, not just your descendants. It is the way of God to start with what he starts with his intentions to multiply it and spread it out in the goodness that he began with. That it should become bountiful and abound and abound. And what God begins in his goodness and in his love is to increase and abound. God is a person who increases and abounds the good that he starts out. And he uses various means. But it is the way of God to abound in His goodness, in His love, in His greatness. Did the same thing with Jacob. Blessed him. Said He would multiply him. Under Moses, God said to Israel, O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. And that's these natural events, these physical events of blessings, multiplication, bountifulness, that God sets in motion. Eventually bless all the nations, all the peoples of the world. We see as His purpose is an intent. That's what He's aiming at, is to bless all the peoples of the world by multiplying the seed of Abraham. How is He going to do that? He then began to reveal He was going to do that through a particular seed from the natural descendants of Abraham. One that was called the Messiah, the Anointed One. In Isaiah it says, Thou shalt multiply the nation, thou shalt increase their gladness. They will be glad in thy presence as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Now, for thou shalt break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian, for every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult, and cloak rolled in his blood, will be for burning fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. For there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. Through these natural descendants of Abraham, there's going to be a particular son born. And the government of God Himself shall be upon his shoulders, and of the increase, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David or over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. No end to the increase of his government or peace. God started with creation and said to Adam and Eve, multiply. He judged them and started with Noah again and said, multiply, be blessed and multiply. Then He came to a man named Abraham and blessed him because Abraham believed God. And He said, I'm going to multiply your seed. And you have these ever-increasing openings and bountifulnesses of increase. And He says, out of your multitudes of natural descendants, I'm going to take one in particular, and out of His increase of His government, there should be no end at all. It's going to be an infinite increase. Government and of peace. God's ways are to start with something and take it to where He just throws it open and has as His design and a bountifulness of good, a bountifulness of justice, a bountifulness of His blessings. God's way is not the opposite, where He starts with a lot and He just winnows it down until there's just a few left. Just a little bit left. Just a little good left. His way is to start with the good He starts with and send it on its way to bountifulness and increase. God's way of love is to increase the good that He labors for and works upon and He sets in motion. This is His way. Under the new covenant, He promises, and I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. God promises in the new covenant, He will remember our sins no more. He will establish Himself in our hearts forever. God's way that he has been doing in his purposes to continually throw open an ever-expanding abundance of his grace and blessings and goodness. That is his way. It is his way for the psalmist to say, my cup runs over, overflows. It is not applicable to describe his blessedness as, my cup has gotten wet recently. I found some residue in my cup of his blessings. I'm so thankful to see that he didn't pass me by. He left a few drops in my cup. That is not the way of the Lord. The testimony of those who have God's blessings is, my cup overflows. It just keeps me awake sometimes. It's overflowing. Out of one's belly comes these rivers of living water. It's going. The way of the Lord in blessing people through Jesus Christ who have sinned against him and through the gospel is to bring into them and through them an abundance. God's blessings is an abundance. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The testimony of the blessed is, my cup overflows. It's got a source that just doesn't stop. It just keeps going. Out of my innermost being flows this river of living water. That's the testimony of the blessed. There was a famine at the time of Elijah. And God told Elijah, go hide yourself at the brook. There's not going to be rain. You prayed for no rain. There's not going to be any rain, just like you asked. Go hide yourself at the brook, and I'll provide food for you there. So he went to the brook, and he drank the water out of the brook, and the ravens came and brought him meat and bread in the morning and in the evening. And then the brook dried up, and God said and told him to go to a particular widow at Zarephath. He went to found this particular widow at Zarephath, and she had a handful of oil and a handful of meal and a little oil in the jar. And he said to the widow, give me something to eat. She says, well, all I've got is a handful of flour and a little oil in the jar. And I was going to make a little cake with it and feed my child and myself, and then lay down and die, because that's all we've got. He said, well, that's okay, but make some for me first. Take the wheat, the meal, and the oil, and make a little cake, and feed me first. And she did. And she did. Now I've got to read you the good parts. Do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first, and bring it out to me, and afterwards you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. So he went and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. That is the way of the Lord. When God is blessing through his word, that is the way of the Lord. Under Elisha, there was a certain woman whose husband died. He was one of the sons of the prophets. And she came to Elijah and said, my husband was in deep debt when he died. And the creditors have come to take my two children away to have them work as slaves until they pay off my husband's debt. What shall I do? He said to her, what do you have? And she says, your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. And he said, go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few. You shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, and they were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. And it came about when the vessels were full that she said to her sons, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not one vessel more. And the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest. What will I do? My children are going into bondage. My husband has died. I'm deeply in debt. And all I've got is some oil in a vessel. And God blessed her. God had a word for her. God had direction for her. Take what you've got. Go get every empty vessel you can find throughout the whole city. And shut yourself in the door so nobody sees how you do it. And take your vessel of oil and start pouring it in this empty vessel. And when that's full, then pour it in the next one. And she just kept pouring, and she just kept pouring, and she just kept pouring. And then she said, get me another one. And they said, there's not one left. And then the oil stopped. Peter on the day of Pentecost was doing actually the same thing. He'd just been filled with the Holy Spirit. People says, what does this mean? He said, get your vessels. Bring your empty earthen vessels. Clean through Jesus' precious blood. Bring your vessels, not a few. Ever heard that song? It's taken from the story of Elisha. Because God's Spirit is being poured out upon the earth, and every empty vessel that is brought will be filled. That is His way. Until there's not one empty vessel left who is willing to be filled, who is willing to come. So the day of Pentecost, Peter is really saying, in effect, bring your empty earthen vessel, because the time has come for God to be filling vessels of clay, people with His Holy Spirit. And He will fill everyone who comes. Everyone who repents and receives the Messiah, He will fill them with His Spirit. Every one of them. Multiplied. Abundance of His Spirit upon everyone who will come. That is the way of the Lord. Without limit. The devil comes to rob and to steal and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, have it more abundantly. The concept that salvation is a meager, insufficient answer to the soul's hunger and thirsting and wretchedness and sin is to conceive of God as acting like the devil. It is not to understand that Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But it is to conceive that as though God Himself is like the devil. He's kind of stealing our goodness from us. He's kind of a thief. He's a destroyer of good. He's not. Jesus that came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. All of the workings of God are to abundantly supply the needs of man's soul. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God is ahead of the curve, if I may say it like that. Whatever's been going on in history, God's bountifulness always surpasses what sin and tragedy, what rebellion and transgression may bring upon people. His love and His bountifulness and His goodness and His grace is always greater than all of our sin. Though you walk through the valley of the deepest darkness, I shall fear no evil, because Thou art with me. The presence of God far surpasses and outweighs the deepest darkness that may be in this life. Cup runs over. In the parable that Jesus gave of the man who was going to throw a dinner, and then he finally announced to the people, it's time for the dinner that I promised you. A large, large dinner with many, many guests. And some people sent word back and says, well, I can't come. I just got married. I can't come. I bought some property. I've got to go look at it. I can't come. And they brought word back to him. Servants brought word back to him. Some of the people aren't going to come. Go into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. When I plan a dinner, it is so bountiful. It is my intent. It is my intent that my house shall be full and that my bounty may be enjoyed. So go out and find the ones that are walking the streets and have them come in, because it is my intent when I design the dinner that my house would be full, that my bounty would be consumed. And so it is in salvation. The bountifulness of the grace of God is designed that it would be consumed, that it would be taken, it would be enjoyed, it would be made benefit of. Not to be wasted, not to be left undigested, if you will, or untaken. God's bountifulness through Jesus Christ is designed that it would be all taken, that none would be left. So the words to the servants were, go and find people who will need this and enjoy this and consume this, because I have it already. That is the way of the Lord. People like to quote certain verses about the last days. In the last days, evil men shall wax worse and worse. So what? So what if evil men behave worse and worse? Doesn't say there'll be more and more of them. We do not live in a day that, because of the day we live in, can prevent the blessings of God being bountiful in this earth. God's design in salvation through Jesus Christ is not intended to go up to the 1800s and stop, and let the world go on in its sin. And nothing you can do about it. It is His way for where sin increases, that grace abounds even more. It is abounding. Greater than all the sin in the world today, the grace of God is greater through Jesus Christ. When God told Moses to have the people of Israel in the desert, in the wilderness, build a sanctuary. Tell them exactly how he wanted to build. And they had to have a lot of materials for it, especially gold. A lot of materials and cloth. Announced to the people, we need this material to build the sanctuary. Announced that, and the people began to bring stuff, and it says, and they said to Moses, people are bringing much more than enough for the construction work which the Lord commanded us to perform. That is the way of the Lord and His people. When there's a need for the work of the Lord, the people are bringing much more than enough for the construction which the Lord has commanded us. It is the way of the Lord to always be bountiful and supply more than is needed. To do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think is His way. And when people are blessed by Him and begin to live in His way, they too begin to act and give and labor exceeding abundantly beyond what they asked or thought before. They had to stop telling them to bring stuff. Same with under Hezekiah. Under Hezekiah, he began to destroy the idols and stuff like that and call for a feast day that they hadn't had in a long time. And he called for people to come and help build the temple, and they brought so much that they just had to tell him to stop bringing stuff. Paul says to the Corinthians in that text we read, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." 2 Corinthians 8:7, "But just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness and in the love we have inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed." A lot of alls in there. Let me read it again. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed." That is the way of the Lord. That is the influence and effect of His grace upon people. His grace so abounds upon people that receive His grace, that trust in His grace, that it is an abounding grace in their lives, and they begin to abound unto every good deed. It is the testimony of the believer in God's grace. "My cup overflows. I've got more than I need. Here, have some of it. Take some. I've got plenty. My cup overflows. Take some of it." It's only by knowing what the truth of the matter is and confronting what may be the obstacles in your mind, your own unbelief regarding the power of the gospel, your own fear of what people will say if you start to talk about God. But that's not a very good sign of a blessed person, one who fears the words and the faces of unbelievers. Not a very good sign of an overflowing cup. But it is certain. It is certain that every blessed man or woman has an overflowing cup. And they are laboring with confidence that it is the will of God that other cups overflow, that this abounding grace be poured out to others, be testified to of others. And they labor to that end, that this gospel may increase and abound throughout the earth. So my word to you this morning is to know it's the way of God to increase His righteousness on the earth, and secondly, for you to labor in faith, in confidence, that that's His intent and purpose, that His gospel multiply, that His body increase, and that the end of His government there shall be no end, nor of His peace. I find it somewhat difficult to labor on this morning because of such dullness, unbelief, a history of going for several years and not seeing God add to the church here. Seeing some of the things that we've gone through that would try to teach us, well, we're just going to have to hold on. Some of the unwillingness to, for some people to acknowledge their sin, their hardness, their unbelief, number of obstacles. But I lay with you before this morning, it is the way of God to multiply His blessings. And it's the way of the people of God to do the same in working for the kingdom of God. Let's pray.